Certainly have enjoyed the preaching this afternoon, this morning. I've already got what I came here for. I certainly look forward to coming and hearing the gospel preached, and I certainly feel like that it's been preached today, and I've rejoiced in it, and my mind's been stirred up again by the preaching of the gospel. I certainly am happy to be here. It's good to see each one of you again. And I've been looking forward to the time to meet together in this association again. I certainly desire an interest in your prayers as we stand before you this afternoon. I was noticing my watch, and I think my battery's died. So after about 30 minutes, if I'm still preaching, somebody raise their hand, and I'll try to bring it to a close. And if, like Brother Jonathan, if I'm not blessed, then I hope I'll sit down before that time. I had something else on my mind as I, after the morning service, and Brother Randy, as he preached and speaking about faith, and Brother Jonathan followed with some of the same thoughts, it seems like that my mind has gone to a text in harmony with that which has gone before us. And I hope and trust that it's not my desire to take anything away from that which is said, but I hope and trust the Lord would bless us together for a little while, that His name might be honored and glorified. As Brother Randy was speaking about faith, and he started out talking about perseverance as far as in righteousness. You know, I don't know as the thought in my early years in reading association articles of faith and different things of that nature, I don't ever remember when some articles of faith uses the word perseverance. And I understand that in that particular part that we have said in recent times that it is, that maybe it would be better to put preservation there. You know, when I read those earlier articles of faith, it never crossed my mind that those brethren in that day meant what some has tried to say in recent years, that a child of God will persevere in righteousness here in time. Certainly I do believe that God, and I'm in a part of the country where that we have had, and probably still as far as the number of churches, that we have more primitive Baptists that believe in absolute predestination of all things than not. But I will say that I certainly believe that God has an absolute will. He is absolutely predestinated to conform His people to the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I think that's what our forefathers meant when they used the word perseverance, that God's people are going to persevere in the things that are contained in the law of the Spirit of life in Christ.
Amen.
He that hath begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. There's not going to be any shipwreck when it comes to God's foreknowledge and God's predestination, His calling, His justification and glorification. I certainly believe that we're preserved in that, and we're going to persevere in that which God has done for us eternally. And by saying that, I certainly agree with these brethren that's gone before me this afternoon. And Brother Eddie mentioned something in his preaching that stirred my mind, in the sense that there are, you know, you can talk to a lot of different people, believe to be God's people, because we see the evidence of the fruit of the Spirit in their lives. And our hearts do go out to many of the Lord's people that are trying to do a work that's already been done, trying to win a battle that's already been fought. But yet, there's many people that will take different parts of Scripture to try to, and you know, everybody has a support for what they believe, and I've said this time and time again, that until that you come to the point that the Lord has blessed you to see that there is a salvation here in time, then you'll miss the truth as it is in Christ.
True.
And some has even tried to do away with that and say there is no such thing. I feel like that's one of the first things that God blessed me to see that give me a great peace and rejoicing, and I'm definitely not wanting to give that up, not going to do that. But I want to turn your attention, as Brother Randy spoke on faith, and certainly believe, I want to say amen to that which he preached concerning the faith in Ephesians chapter 2. I certainly believe that's God's faith. That is, that God was faithful, and his Son, the Holy Spirit, was faithful in keeping a covenant that was made for a people before the foundation of the world.
Yeah.
And that he has given us that faith. But many times, as I have said this before, and I'll say it again this afternoon, that almost any subject that I begin to endeavor to try to study in the Word of God, that I, and I use this to try to help others that are studying the Scriptures that maybe don't know anything about what the old Baptists believe. But the Scriptures, Paul, in writing to the young minister Timothy, he said to Timothy, and I believe that's good for all of God's people, but he said, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Now, there, when you read that and you see that Paul is saying rightly divide the word of truth. Now, he didn't say dividing truth from error,
no.
But he said to divide truth. And when we divide truth, that must mean that there's more than one category to put truth in. And so, and I've found it that way in most all the subjects that I have any light on at all, that you can have the same word, as Brother Randy preached concerning faith, that you can have the same word and it be applied differently in the Scriptures, as he has already shown us today. And by saying that, that there's a timely sense that most of these words are used in the eternal sense. I want to go right quickly to the 10th chapter of the book of Romans, almost every person that I've ever talked to that believed in a work system for salvation, that was Arminian by doctrine, that they'll always take you to the 10th chapter of the book of Romans. And I will submit to you that if I understand anything about this chapter this afternoon, that there's not an eternal verse in this whole chapter.
Amen.
Every line that's in this chapter is dealing with a timely application. Mm-hmm. And so as Brother Randy spoke to us about faith that is given to us, or the faith of God, and the fruit of the Spirit, that faith there that brother that him and Brother Jonathan mentioned that is given to us in regeneration. You know, as I begin to think about that, maybe as a starting point, I'd already mentioned the 10th chapter. But I want to back up in the first chapter of the book of Romans just for a minute in the first chapter, the 17th verse. And we find the Apostle Paul talking to here about the preached gospel. And the reason we know that in the 15th verse, he says, so as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. So he's talking about preaching the gospel. And in verse 16, he says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is, talking about the gospel, that it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Now, I want you to notice verse 17, and we're still talking about the gospel. The subject matter has not changed. And so it says, for therein, therein what? Therein the gospel. That is, Paul said that I am not ashamed of it. And he says that as much as in him is, he is ready now to preach the gospel to you there at Rome also. And so he goes on to say, talking about this gospel, he says, "For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith." Now we've got the word faith used twice, two times in this same verse of Scripture, and it is connected by the word "to." Notice what it says. It says, "For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith." That certainly means that there's something that is revealed from one faith to another faith. And so, and a lot of times people read that and they'll go over to the 10th chapter of the book of Romans, and where they come up, or where they wind up, is gospel regeneration. And certainly we as old Baptists realize that that is not the truth. The Bible does not teach gospel regeneration, but it does teach that there is something that is revealed to us by the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. We, as Primitive Baptists, are probably the only people that I know of that take the position that the gospel has nothing to do with populating heaven. The gospel never will add one to that number that is going to live with God after this world is over. The gospel was never designed for that purpose. God never intended for the gospel to raise the dead. It just don't have that power. Brother Jonathan talked to us about being born again of the Spirit of God. The gospel does not have the power to raise the dead. But now it does have power to give light, and it don't have power to give life. And so this says, "For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith." Now, this is stating a condition that it is telling us what a person or who the recipient of the gospel is. That is just like, and maybe my illustration is not that good, but all of us have a TV that's got a remote, and you're sitting there before the TV, when you mash the remote, that it sends a signal, and the TV picks that signal up, and it turns the volume up or down, it changes the channel, it does all kind of things, but when you press the button, and it sends forth the signal, if that TV had no receptor in there, the signal would just go on and on. It wouldn't have a lodging place. So in this text, is telling us that there is something taking place with the recipient of the gospel before that the gospel ever gets to him or has a benefit or a lodging place within him. I'll tell you, beloved, in this it says, "For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith." Now I want to come back to that just for a minute. We find in the 10th chapter of the book of Romans a verse that I struggled with for a long time, that I knew what it didn't mean, but I didn't have a good grip on what it did, and maybe I still don't. But if we go down in the 10th chapter of the book of Romans, and I want to I'll skip over some verses here for the sake of time, but it says in the 17th verse, it says, "So then, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God." Now, this Word of God that is spoken of here is talking about the Gospel Word. It's talking about the Word of the Gospel that is preached unto us. Now, we have the written Word of God, we have the living Word of God, and we have the preached Word of God. And so it says here, "So then, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God." See, an Arminian will take you there and say, "Look, see, the faith comes by hearing the gospel preached." I will tell you this, there is a faith that does come to us by hearing the gospel preached, but it's not the faith that's listed there in the fruit of the Spirit. Brother Jonathan said this, and I'll say amen to it, that the faith that's there in that list that's called the fruit of the Spirit, that is the faith that comes to us in regeneration. That is the faith that God gives to us when He gives gives us eternal life. And I know that life precedes all activity. It does in nature and it does in the spiritual realm of the grace of God. But I'll tell you this, I don't believe there's a long drawn out process. When God sends forth that life-giving voice in regeneration into the hearts and the lives of His people, there are several things that happen simultaneously at the same time. You're given eternal life. You're given that faith that is a fruit of the Spirit, and that faith is the tool that enables you to believe in the God of glory. Without that faith, it's impossible to believe in God. I'll tell you, beloved, that's why the dead alien sinner cannot believe in the God of glory. That's why a person that the Lord has not come to in the new birth and in regeneration cannot and will not believe in the Lord God of heaven. But when we are born of the Spirit of God, we're given faith. And that faith is that faith that is the fruit of the Spirit. And that faith enables us to believe in God. It is given unto us. It is a gift of God. And it didn't come by hearing the gospel preached, but it come in the quickening power of the Spirit of God Almighty. But I'll tell you this, as our text says here in Romans 10, it says there, it says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. There is a faith that comes to us by hearing the Word of God. It's already been mentioned here today. You can open your minutes. You can go to the constitution of this church, wherever the church that you're represented from, wherever your membership is, you can go back in the constitution and you'll find a list of things that is called the Articles of Faith. You know what that is? That is a statement, a declaration of the things that is surely believed among us. And I'll tell you, beloved, that's the faith that's under consideration in this text. That faith comes to us by hearing the gospel preached. And so faith cometh by hearing. But listen, we go back to Romans chapter 1. It says, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. When the gospel is preached, there is a faith that was once delivered unto the saints. There is a faith of the things that we surely believe. Now, there may be some rare cases, but I grant you, if you go around and take a survey among the old Baptist people, and ask them, and I think Brother Eddie's already give witness to that today, that when he first come among the church, and as a young man, he maybe didn't understand about justification. He maybe didn't understand about predestination. Maybe didn't understand about the doctrine of election. I'm going to tell you, that's probably all of our cases. That we didn't have an understanding of these principles that are taught us in the Word of God. But I'm going to tell you that just because we didn't understand it didn't mean that we were not born of the Spirit of God. We had faith that is a fruit of the Spirit. But I'm going to tell you something that is what is being talked about here. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. When the Gospels preach, my friends, there is a message. There is a gospel faith that is delivered unto God's people. And notice I said God's people. The gospel is not for the dead alien sinner. Why? Because it's revealed from faith to faith. That means that there's a gospel message that comes from the gospel being preached. But that's the signal that goes forth. But there's got to be a lodging place. There's got to be a receptor in order for it to do any good in the life of the person. And so when the gospel's preached, if the person's not already born of the Spirit of God, then they don't have a lodging place. They don't have a receptor for the gospel to lodge. And I'll tell you, beloved, when we are born of the Spirit of God, then we're given faith. And so when the gospel's preached, that preach word, that gospel faith is revealed from that source of faith that is the gospel faith to that which God has already put within us.
It bears fruit.
And so it says, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. And it might be a good place to just quit right there, because that righteousness, and maybe some brethren here that don't agree with me, but I believe that righteousness there is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. And I will make a couple of comments on that over in Romans chapter 10. In the beginning of that chapter, we find the Apostle Paul beginning this way. And you know, when you talk about the gospel only has the subject of the gospel. There's only one subject of the gospel. And the Apostle Paul said, "I declare not to know anything among you, save Jesus Christ and Him crucified." I'll tell you, that's the subject of the gospel. The death, burial, and the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And by the way, all of God's people do not see the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul said there in that same chapter, he said, bringing over something that Isaiah said, he said, "Lord, who hath believed our report?" Now, I believe it was Brother Eddie talked about that you can go out here among God's people. And by the way, I'm not critical of God's people. I'm critical of what they believe. But I tell you, the most of God's people that you meet in this world, they're doing the very best they know how. They're using all that they have, all the light that they have. But I'll tell you this, when you hear somebody talk about their Savior, that He's trying to get a job done, but sinners just won't cooperate. When you're talking about a Jesus that just done all He can, and there might be some that's going to be lost, I tell you, that's not the Jesus of the Bible.
Amen.
That's not the Jesus of the faith, of the gospel faith that's preached from God's Word. And so therefore, I declare unto you that all of God's people that are born in the Spirit of God, they're just like those that Jesus spoke to in John chapter 14 when He said, "Ye believe in God." Now, you know what I draw from that conclusion? He was talking to born again children of God.
Amen.
He said, "Ye believe in God." And by that statement, we can rest assured that those that He spoke to had been born of the Spirit of God and that had been given the fruit of the Spirit, therein faith was given unto them.
Amen.
And yet He said, "Ye believe in God, but believe also in Me." That's the subject of the gospel. That's the faith of the gospel. That's the faith that was once delivered unto the saints. That's the faith that comes by hearing the Word of God. Now, don't have time to go into that aspect of it, but you all understand that as the gospel is preached, and even for the child of God that's born the Spirit of God, that it still must be revealed by the Spirit of God from on high. I've heard some say, "Well, you know, child of God, just take the Scriptures and just one application of the Spirit in regeneration and study himself into believing the truth." I don't believe that. I believe that through studying the Scripture, there still must be a revealing of the Spirit of God in the life of His people. Now, if that's the case, then many years ago when I began to preach, and you know, if y'all knew my mind like I knew my mind, it's feeble and it's simple and it don't retain stuff very well. So when I first got a glimpse of the truth as it is in Christ, and the Lord give me a burden to preach the gospel, my first thought was that if I can see this, anybody can. And I said, "Lord, just turn me loose on them. Just turn me loose on your children. I'll make believers." But I tell you, it didn't take me long to find out that the majority of God's people didn't give a flip about what Brother Tony wanted to talk to them about. But there's a few among the old Baptist church that this beautiful truth, this faith has been revealed to, that this, "For therein is the righteousness of God," the Lord Jesus Christ, has been revealed from faith, the gospel faith, to the lodging place of the faith of the fruit of the Spirit in your heart, whereby that you can see the beauty of the Lord Jesus Christ and His finished work. You know, I used a brother at home, Brother David Brooks, Elder David Brooks, he's a good friend of mine, and But I told him later that I used him as a guinea pig when I first began to see this scripture. He came from another order. He was speaking with another order. And he came to the old Baptist church. And by the time I was preaching along this and beginning to have the light for the first time on this subject, and I said, "Brother David," I said, "I want to ask you a question. I thought that maybe he had been with us long enough that this wouldn't offended him, but he told me later it offended him." I said, "Brother David," I said, "before you came to the knowledge of the truth," I said, "did you see the Lord Jesus Christ?" I didn't know I offended him. He said, "Brother Tony," he said, "you offended me that day," but he said, "the more I thought about it, what you said, the more I considered it," he said, "I believed in God, but I hadn't seen the Lord in truth." Amen. Because this says, for Paul's praying, and that's what we ought to pray for. I tell you, I've said this, if Paul in this 10th chapter of Romans, if this is an eternal text, then Paul has gone off the deep end. He's literally lost his mind because he went out from the 8th chapter to the 9th chapter of the book of Romans and declared there's nothing that's able to separate us from the love of God which we have in Christ Jesus. We're more than conquerors through Him that loved us. And he talked about how secure that our eternal salvation is. And now he opens up the 10th chapter and says, "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved." I said, I don't think Paul's gone off the deep end. I don't think he's lost his mind. I think he's talking about a different salvation. And he says here, "For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God." Where do they get it from? They got it. God's people got that zeal in regeneration.
Amen.
But it says, "For they being ignorant, but not according to knowledge." See, that's what we need is knowledge. "For they being ignorant of God's righteousness," that's the Lord Jesus Christ, "and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end." Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. I tell you, when a child of God comes to the end of themselves and lays their works down, when they come to the... You talking about a light at the end of the tunnel? That light is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'll close with this verse. In the 2 Corinthians letter chapter 4. And I'll just pick up in verse 3. It says, "But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them," talking about the gospel. "For we preach not ourselves, but Christ..." See, we're not preaching works. "But we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, ourselves for your servants, ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power of God may be of God and not of us." Everything about the church, both of her ordinances, baptism and the communion service, is pointing toward the death, the burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the gospel message. That's the message that God taught Peter, James, and John on the Mount of Transfiguration. At the end of that, when they were raised up, Moses and Elijah was gone. And there Jesus stood by himself. The one that fought the battle. The one that gave us the victory. The one that redeemed us from our sins, that is due all honor and all praise and all glory. And guess what? The voice from heaven said, as God spoke, he said, "This is my Son, hear ye him."
Amen.
The truth, the faith of what that we believe. That's the faith that comes by hearing the gospel. The gospel don't give us faith that enables us to believe. That's in regeneration. But the gospel gives us the faith of what? That we believe. The doctrine of the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ. May the Lord bless you and keep you, as I pray.